right. In August, God started talking to me about Samuel. He started telling me, go start digging into Samuel. Go start digging into Samuel. And I was very excited because Samuel was a mighty man of God, right? Samuel was a man in the season of that God needed him to be in that season. And so when I started to dig into that, I spent the first month, truthfully, in like Samuel 1. Because God had such things to prepare my heart for this season. When Samuel was born, there was a lot of things that were going on around the time of Samuel's birth. How many of you know the story of Samuel in the Bible? Raise your hand if you know the story of Samuel. Okay. What happened was Samuel had a mother named Hannah. And Hannah was barren. How many of you know what the word barren means? It means you could not have children. And in this day, that is not a stigma, you know, of something negative or bad. But in that day, it was. What it meant to Hannah and to everybody around Hannah is that she didn't please God. It was very shaming for her to be barren. What that meant to them, which was not truth, was that God had closed up her womb. That God had caused that to happen to her. I'm going to tell you, God makes things fruitful. There is nothing else true about that. God makes things fruitful. God causes us to be fruitful. And when we are in a season of barrenness, it's not God, it's the enemy. I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's not God, it's the enemy. But God will allow you to walk through a season of barrenness because he wants to do something amazing out of your barrenness. So barrenness to Hannah was humiliating. Barrenness to Hannah was looked bad. What people around Hannah were saying to her was, there is something wrong in your life for God to do this to you. They were telling her, there is something wrong in your family, in your heart, in your relationship with God, because God has closed up your womb. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible never said that. The Bible never said that Hannah did not please God. The Bible never said that Hannah was not honoring God being barren. I'm going to tell you, if you ever have great things to do for God, your life is going to look barren at times. If you ever are going to do great things to God, the enemy is going to come after your life, and you're going to go through seasons where people are going to stand around and say, oh, I wonder what he did. Look how the enemy is attacking him. Let me tell you, if the enemy is attacking you, he's probably threatened by you. I'm just going to be honest with you. If the enemy is attacking your life, you are probably a threat to him. The ones that the enemy are not attacking are the ones that truthfully, a lot of times, are not a threat. When in the Bible does it say that you will have a lot of seasons of peace? That life will be easy. It says we can have peace, but I don't see one story in the Bible of a man that did great things for God that life went just his way. I don't see that. So we've got to change our mindset. So when the enemy comes and tries to dry up and tries to bring desolation, tries to bring things that make it look to everybody else that we're wrong, that makes it look to everybody else that there is a reason for this, we've got to know in our heart, God, if there was a reason for this, you would have told me. My life just looks desolate at this moment. Because we can look at Hannah's life, and we can see the end of the story, correct? We can look at Hannah's life and we can say, Hannah, it wasn't very long. And then you did have a son. But I'm telling you, Hannah didn't have that privilege. She couldn't say, all right, give it a few years and I'll have a son. She had to believe the end from the beginning. She had to believe God had not closed up her womb. She had to believe that God was good. Hannah had to believe that when to everybody else around her, it didn't look like that. And I believe that is very, very prophetic for a lot of our lives this year. What it looks like, death, decay, dried up, it looks very unfruitful. It's just a season. It is just a season. We've got to know, just like we're standing back on our life with the wisdom that God will give us in this season, that there is something very beautiful coming right around the bend. And let me tell you, everybody around you is probably going to tell you different. See, Hannah was surrounded by people that were telling her something very different. She was the second wife to a man who really loved her. But he said, Hannah, aren't I enough? What he was saying is, Hannah, this is probably the way your life's going to be. Aren't I enough? He also was sitting there telling, her other wife was telling her this. She was sitting there telling her, she was saying, you know what? She was harassing her. She was making her feel insecure about this area that Hannah could not change. Hannah could not change it. Who could change it? God could change it. But let me tell you something. No matter what that likes to everybody else, you are responsible for believing the truth. You are responsible from hearing God and having peace, knowing that God is going to do something good in that situation. Because if you do, it will just be a season. Let me tell you, there was a lot of women that were barren in that season, in that time. But there were very few Hannahs. There were a lot of women that just said, this is my lot in life. There was a lot of women that agreed with what other people were saying about them. There were very few Hannahs. But if you in your life will take a halt to where the enemy is trying to thumbprint you, he's trying to say, you know what? This is not a place God will make fruitful. If he's trying to do that, if you will get in your spirit the truth and the purpose of that season, you will come out of it like Hannah did. You will come out of it like Hannah did. You will come out of it, though, the Bible says, with more. In Isaiah, God gave me the scripture and I loved it. In Isaiah 54, this is what God says he does for the barren woman. He says, sing, O barren, though you have not born yet. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. It says for the one, well, let me look it up because I don't have the rest of that scripture right there. God has a purpose in your barrenness. God allows us to go through seasons of barrenness. But we have to, in our spirit, know without a doubt that it is just a season. Here's what he said. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. So here's what God wants to do. He wants to take that desolate area, that horrific area, that shameful area, that embarrassing area, that unfruitful area. He wants to bring it into a place of supernatural, miraculous, anointed more in your life. That's what God's word says. That's what God's word does. So here's where we find Hannah. Hannah in a season where she was desolate. But do you know what Hannah did with that? She brought it to God. She brought it to God. And she said, God, this is something only you can change. But I know that you are a God who will change this. And do you know what God did? He changed it. He changed it. See, Hannah had this great need. But let me tell you, all the children of Israel, they had a great need too. The children of Israel at that time were so distant from God that they didn't hear God, that they were not convicted by the things that convicted God, that they were separated from God. And here's what God knew. God knew right around the bend for them, a war was coming. He knew there was a battle right around the bend. So here's what God decided. He said, I've got to find somebody who will take their need and apply faith to their need so that I can take my need and I can implant my need into their need and I can bring about a miracle. See, that's what God wants to do with your desolation. He wants to connect it with a greater need. He wants to connect it with a greater miracle. So here's what we see happen. Hannah had a need. Man, but God had a need. A lot more than just Hannah was affected by God's need. There were thousands of people in Israel at that time. There were thousands of babies. There were thousands of children. And what was about to come against them was going to destroy them. It was going to destroy them. So here's what God said. If I could find one Hannah who will believe that I have more for their life than what they have. And so Hannah brought her need to God. And what God did in that need was he supplied his need. Here's what God said. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and what is in my mind. You see, that was God's need. He needed a man at that time who would do what was in his heart and what was in his mind. And there was no man in Israel like that at that time. But see, Hannah had a need. She had a need. She had a need for a child. She had a need for something that she could not do. But when she took that to God, God miraculously birthed Samuel. Samuel was the answer to the children of Israel, and Samuel was the answer to Hannah. I want you to know whatever your greatest need in your life is, God wants to anoint that need to become your greatest miracle. Whatever area of your life looks dried up and desolate, if you will believe, God wants to anoint that area to become your greatest miracle. And it's not just for you. It's for everybody that is connected with you. It is for so much more than your eyes could even see or you could even understand. It is for so much more than you. You've got to know that when you go into a situation and it becomes a desolate area. You've got to know that this is for so much more than me. There's an anointing going to break out of this. There's a miracle that's going to break out of this. There are people that are going to be affected by this because I take this to God and God anoints me in this area. So when we turn to Samuel, here's what we see. We see that Samuel was exactly what Israel needed. I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to talk about this long, but I'm going to tell you, this nation right now needs a Samuel. This nation right now needs a Samuel. This nation needs a person that will let their heart and their mind only be what God says. We live in a wicked season. I'm sorry if you don't know that, but we do. This is the end times. My mom last week, man, she laid it out so well. The ways that you can tell that wickedness is increasing. Do you know that? Things that when I was a kid, I could never believe that we do say or even see now. Let me tell you something. God is, I believe, in the church trying to raise up faithful priests who will do according to what is in his mind and what is in his heart. I believe that this is a call. In August, when I read that, God said, you know what? This is you. This is you. And every person in here that's hearing this, I'm just going to be honest with you. This is you. God is calling you to be a faithful priest who will do what is in his heart and do what is in his mind. And let me tell you, that's not easy. I've been down that road right now. It's not easy. It's not easy to have the heart and the mind of God. Because the mind of God, everybody hold up the mind of God. We have the mind of God, correct? We have the mind of God. God has given us his word. We know what he thinks. We know how he operates. But let me tell you something. The heart of God, a lot of times, handle situations very different than the mind of God. Do you guys understand that? The heart of God is compassion. The heart of God is mercy. There's a nature of God that is so fluent throughout the Bible, and it is very much the heartbeat of God. And in every situation, for you to marry the heart of God and the mind of God, it takes a miracle. You can't do it on your own. You cannot marry the heart of God and the mind of God without God. You just can't. My parents are perfect examples of this. My mom is very much the mind of God. I can go to her in any situation and she's going to tell me exactly what the word of God says. She just is. She knows the word of God. She knows the word of God. But I'm going to tell you, if I ever got in trouble, she's the last person I would ever want on my jury. Ever. Ever. I'll say that used to. I mean, she is black and white. She knows the word of God. She does. But I'm going to tell you, my dad, he's the heart of God. He is mercy through and through. Man, when we mess up, he's sitting there with you. He feels it with you. He feels sorry for you. How many of you, your life, you have just totally blown it, and he's sitting there, and he feels sorry for you? That's mercy. Do you understand? The mercy is not what we deserve. The mercy of God is why we're still here. the mercy of God sees the best in us, even when there's hardly anything good in us. The mercy of God is what we can't live without, but the truth of God is what sets us free. The truth of God is what gives us that direction, even though we are constantly messing up. The mercy of God gets us back on the path, but the truth of God leads us to where we're going. It takes both. It takes both for it to be God. Because I'm going to tell you, you can take the truth of God without the heart of God, and you can miss God altogether. You can say something that is exactly the word of God, but if it does not have the heart of God connected with it, it's not God. It's not God. And you can also take the mercy of God without the truth of God, and nothing ever changes. You stay in the same cycle forever. If you live on the mercy of God and you don't grab the truth of God, your life will never change. It will never change. You'll go from one disaster to another, to another, to another. God will have mercy on you. If you repent, God will have mercy on you. But the truth of God has at some point got to get into your life to where it strengthens you and it changes you. So God can perfectly marry in our life truth and heart, and it makes sense. Anytime we try to do that really on our own, it never makes sense. We are, most of us within ourselves, we are one way or we the other. We are 100% mercy or we are 100% truth. And what God does is he usually marries two people together that way. Have you ever found that out to be true? God puts you with somebody that is so much not like you. You ask God all the time, why are we here? Please. God puts you with them so that at some point in your life, they will rub off enough on you that you will have harmony in your life of mercy and truth. God never wants us to stay one way. Anything one way is imbalanced. What we are supposed to do is to be iron sharpening iron. What happens? A lot of stuff gets flaked off, right? When you're sharpening iron to iron, a lot of stuff gets flaked off. And what should happen is, which is what I've seen happen in my parents, is my mom is so much mercy now. It amazes me. She has like 8 dogs. When I was growing up, I thought my mom hated all animals. I really did. I believe she hated all animals. Because we had animals, and she had no mercy for any of our animals. But when you go to her house now, they drink coffee with her. She loves them like they are her own children. She loves them better than they are her children. She is 100% mercy in areas of her life. You know why? Because that marriage has brought wholeness. And I'm going to tell you, my dad, it's become a strong man. And I'm going to tell you, if it needs to be said, he will say it to you. How many of you have experienced that in this church? If something needs to be said, he's going to say it to you. And he's going to say it with truth and boldness, and there's no wavering. Let me tell you, that's the heart and truth of God married. That's the heart of truth in God married. And that is God's desire for everyone in our own personal life, that we commit ourselves to that challenge to not just know the word, but to be able to let the word develop the nature, the character of God in our lives. That we are full of mercy and compassion, but that we know the truth and we speak the truth when God tells us to. So this is where we see Samuel. This is what God was raising up in Samuel. We see that God was raising up something that had never been seen really before up to this time. It was a man who carried the heart and the mind of God because Israel had to have it. Israel had to have it. There was great need coming and Israel had to have it. But I'm going to tell you, this world has got to have it. This world has got to have faithful priests that are being raised up in this season that will have the mind of God, but you will have a heart of compassion in a wicked season. In a wicked nation, you will be able to look at someone and say, demons flee. But I love you. I love you till I see you free. I love right now, I was just thinking about on the way to church this morning, how Mom was talking the other day about, last Sunday, about casting out demons. We are called all to do that, correct? Let me tell you something. When someone is doing you wrong, the greatest goal is to cast out that demon away from them and then to love them and have enough compassion for them that you can pour love into their life, and love will change every situation. Do you know that love is the answer in every situation? It's not the person that's doing you wrong. Who's doing you wrong? The devil. You've got to have those kind of eyes. And this is what you are able to walk out when you have the mercy, you have the heart of God and the mind of God. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm pulling back here. Okay? So here's where we are. We are at a season where we see God is raising up something that was birthed out of great, great desolation. And it was exactly what was for the time and for the season. That's you. Say, that's me. That's me. That's what God is calling, I believe, this morning, every one of us to step in. To not have the excuse to say, you know what, that's just, yeah, I just get mad sometimes. They're just going to have to be okay with me because sometimes I just get mad. I'm going to tell you, that's not the nature of God. That's not the heart of God. And if you aren't steadily trying to work compassion in that heart of God inside of you, you are being complacent. And you are being complacent with God, what God is trying to raise up in you. And as God is trying to raise that up in you and what God is doing, He's trying to show you that to change that inside of you. And that's what God is going to do inside of each one of us. As we decide and come into agreement that I'm going to be someone who has the heart of God and the mind of God. All right, so we're going to look at Samuel real quick. And we're going to look at how God trained Samuel up in this. Samuel was just a little boy. Samuel was a very little boy when God started training him to be what God had called him to be. And I think each one of us in our lives, truthfully, God has spent our life in some way training us up to be what God has called each one of us to be. Now, if we look at our lives through the enemy, we can see all kinds of different pictures. But if you'll look at your life through the eyes of God, you'll see, God, you know what? That seems so hard, but you were just training me there. God, that seems so rough to walk through, but supernaturally, God, you got me through that and you strengthened me in that. And now I have compassion for people in that area. God really has been training all of us since we were very little children. Do you know that? He is a good, good father. He just is. I love that song. That's just who he is. He is just a good, good father. All right, so when Samuel was a little boy, God started coming and speaking to Samuel. If everybody will turn with me to 1 Samuel 3:1, I'm going to real quick just move through some things that God showed me in Samuel's life. And I believe God is challenging us to that today. It says in 1 Samuel 3:1, says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no widespread revelation. I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe this without a doubt. And I believe that's what this word is saying to us. If you are okay with the word of the Lord being rare in your life, trouble's coming. If you are okay with the word of the Lord being rare in your life, the enemy is crouching right around your door. The word of the Lord is protection to us. The Bible says that. The Bible says in Proverbs that the word of the Lord is protection to you. Here's what it does is, it's strengthening the areas in your life where you're weak. It's always keeping you on the right path at the right time in the right way. It doesn't let the enemy get over a hand over on you. If the word of the Lord is rare in your life, trouble's coming. Because that's exactly what we see here. See, the word of the Lord was rare in the children of Israel. And you know what? They were okay with it. They were okay with it. But I'm going to tell you the truth. In my own personal life, I have used these statements before. I have said, oh, God's just not talking right now. Or I've said, you know what? When God needs me to know something, he'll tell me. Have any of you said those statements right there before? When it's my season, God will start speaking to me. I'm going to tell you, every season is your season. God has something to say to you every single day. And if it's not coming to you every single day, it's not a God problem. It's a you problem. It's complacency. It's okay with life being normal. When you live for God, life is not normal. It's supernatural. God wants to take us from journey to journey because the Bible says this, and we've heard this our whole life. If we're not going forward, we're going what? Backwards. That's what happened to the children of Israel right here. They weren't going forward, but they thought they were okay just standing right there. they were really going backwards. They were moving so far away from the presence of God that when the voice of the Lord was rare in their life, they thought everything was okay. But I have been there. I have been in places in my life where I've said, well, you know what? I just can't hear God right now. It is a place of deception when you can't hear God and you're okay with that. How many times did you see David when he could not hear God? He got on his knees and he cried out to God and he fasted and he prayed. He would not let it be okay to not hear God's voice in his life daily. And I'm going to tell you with what I believe that God is bringing this church to. It's not okay that you don't hear God daily. We live by the breath of God. That's where we get our being. So if we're not living by the breath of God, whose breath are we living by? Our own? Your breath will not do it. The enemy's? His breath will destroy you. You have got to be committed to hearing God's voice every day. Because he will speak. And let me tell you, God has all these different ways of speaking. If you're looking for God speaking to you, you're going to find it. You're going to find it. God couldn't find one person in all of Israel that would be the one that God could use, so he had to raise up Samuel. Don't let it be that way. Don't let it be that way. Don't make God have to move you out and bring somebody else up to do what God's called you to do. You be the one that God can speak to. See, Eli was so complacent in his life. He could see things all around his life crumbling, but he kept on saying, why? Like he was completely clueless of why. Eli was called to be the man that heard God. Eli was called to be the man that heard God. But because he was complacent in his home, we see that in the way his kids lived. He was complacent in his ministry. God had to move Eli out of the way and raise up a man who would hear God. And I can assure you, if you will not hear God, God will raise up somebody who will. You cannot let the word of the Lord be rare in your life. It's life or death in so many situations. It is crucial to you accomplishing what God called you to do, but you being who God called you to be. The word of the Lord is protection. In Proverbs 1, I'm just going to read it to you. In Proverbs 1:33, it says, the word of the Lord is our protection. I'm going to tell you, whatever you're walking through, the enemy, the purpose in that from the enemy is to destroy you. It's to wipe you out. It's to shame you. It's to create such a chaotic mess around you that you are humiliated and that you fall down and you fall back. But the word of God will protect you in that. See, the word of God to Hannah protected her. She believed more than what everybody else was saying around her. Because she believed it, it protected her life from being barren every day of her life for the rest of her life. The word of God will protect you in seasons when nothing else around you seems like God. But God says, I put you here. I place you here. My hand is on you. There's an anointing coming out of this. If you will just rest in my peace, wait on my timing, let me do what I've got to do in this moment. If you will let me, I will do something greater than you can ever imagine. There is an anointing that's coming out of every area the enemy tries to touch. But will you hear God? Will you hear God? Secondly, what we see in Samuel's life is that Samuel had a heart after God. The very next chapter that we see where God is teaching Samuel something is in 1 Samuel 3, and it's 2. You have got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. See, God came to Samuel, and he started quickening things that had been dead in Israel for years. This is what happened. It says, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was still lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." I want you to realize there is a purpose in seasons and timing. There's a purpose God back in August started laying this on my heart because I needed it. I needed it for this season. There's a purpose that God came to Samuel before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle. See, it had become a custom to the priests. They would light the lamp at night, and then it would go out. And this was probably what Samuel was being trained to do by Eli. In the morning, you get up and you go relight that lamp. In the morning, you get up and you go relight that lamp. But if you'll just look back in Exodus 27, here's what God told them to do with that lamp. He said, "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you the pure oil pressed of olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually." That lamp was never supposed to go out. There was supposed to be such a reverence for the holiness of God. There was supposed to be such a conviction to the things of God that that lamp was never supposed to go out. And let me tell you, the truth is the same in each one of our hearts. We are supposed to allow what God convicts us in. We are supposed to allow what God lays on our heart as precious, to remain holy. And I'm talking to you about the little things. Not the big things. The big things are really blaring. Sin, not sin. Sin, not sin. But when you have a heart of God, God will convict you on the little things. He will say, "Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Don't think like that. Don't move there. Don't do that. Don't allow that to become a part of your life." Those are the little things that God will begin to quicken. And if we will respond like Samuel did, that light will stay lit. And it will burn brighter and brighter and brighter. But it is so easy to allow that light to be quenched. It is so easy just to say, "You know what, I'm going to say that." When everything in your heart is gently saying, "You know what, don't say that. Don't say that." You're going to have to pull your foot out of your mouth in just about 5 minutes. "Don't say that." But you go ahead and say it. You've quenched it. That quick, you have quenched the Holy Spirit. You have quenched that light. How many times have God said, "Don't touch that. Just don't touch that. That might be okay for everybody else around you. That's not okay for you." Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit knows God's plan for your life. And He knows what kind of holiness it's going to take for you to be and do all that God's called you to do. You're not your brother. You're not your sister. There are things that each one of us are called to do. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will quicken you. But you have got to make sure that you are keeping that lamp of God in your heart precious and holy. So that when God can come to you and say, "Hey, you need to go say this to somebody." And you realize when you say it, you know that it might. I believe without a doubt that this moment right here of the quickening of the Holy Spirit is where I fail most of the time. I believe it's where most of us fail. Because this is where a lot of times what's right and what's wrong is not as clear. See, we see in Samuel's life, Samuel was born and Eli had evil sons. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said that. His sons were wicked. All around Samuel was just wicked things, just immoral things. But see, God placed Samuel there to be a man, to be a child, that he could have the heart and the mind of God. That God could come and say, "Samuel, that's not for you. That's not for you." And when he said that, Samuel would not turn back and judge them. Because, you know, judging is a sin. When God puts you in a situation, you can't turn around and say, "You're wrong." You can say, "That's wrong for me. That's wrong for me." And here's what I believe. I believe that this moment right here is what God is trying to strengthen each one of us to be. To where our spirits are so quickened by the Holy Spirit that we are daily hearing what God tells us to do. That He can put us in situations like He did Samuel. And He can trust us. That He can put us in a situation where there are wicked people all around us. And he knows that our heart will speak truth, but that our heart will not grow hard. I'm going to tell you, I can't imagine how hard it was for Samuel's heart not to grow hard. I can't imagine. He was the only man in all of Israel at that time that was convicted about the things he was convicted about. He was the only one that was hearing God about the things that God was speaking to him about. I'm sure everybody else around him said, Samuel, that's crazy. You are not like anybody else. But let me tell you something. Samuel was who God had called Samuel to be. And when God is telling you who he has called you to be, that's got to be enough. That's got to be enough. You've got to be able to stand in the middle of a battle and you've got to be able to say, God, your words today will lead me. They will guide me. They will speak truth to me. Because here's what will happen is, it's very easy to be in that season and for you to divide right and wrong. And when you divide right and wrong, you start judging. And judging is a sin. It's very easy for you to say, God, they're wrong. Bring down judgment on them. Do you see, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. What do we wrestle with? Powers and principalities. You can say, demons, flee them. You can tell the demons to flee, but you've got to have compassion on them. The Bible says that at the very heart of God is compassion. This is what the Bible said about Samuel. It said he was a man who had favor with God and with man. You know how you have favor with God and man? Proverbs tells us this. I don't want you to hear what it's telling us to do. This is, you can walk in this. If God can trust you, he can use you. He can trust you and use you to walk in great seasons and to come out with favor with God and man. It says in Proverbs 3:1, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. That's the mind of God. God's word will supernaturally do that for you. But then the very next verse says this. But do not let mercy or truth forsake you. I'm going to tell you, when you're in a season and they're right, they're wrong, and you're right, mercy is going to want to forsake you. It's going to want to run far away, and you're going to want to stand and say, I know I'm right, God, and I know they're wrong. But if you do that, you're like Jonah. How many of you remember Jonah in the Bible? See, Jonah had a hard task. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. And Nineveh was a group of people that were persecuting the Israelites. Do you know that? They were raiding them. They were destroying them. Jonah was sent to love and to have compassion and to minister to people that were killing them. That was not an easy thing to do. But you know what God did? He asked Jonah to do it. He said, Jonah, I want you to have my heart. I want you to go and preach to them. And this is what Jonah said. Jonah said, if I go, I know you are a merciful God. I know you will have mercy. He did not want to go. Jonah had a hard heart. But Jonah, we know, relented and went. He relented and went. But when he went, Nineveh was saved. Nineveh was saved. Thousands of people, thousands of babies. The same thing that God had done through Samuel in Israel, God wanted to do in Nineveh through Jonah. But when it happened for someone else, you know what Jonah did? He got mad. He got angry. See, God couldn't trust Jonah to have his heart. He could trust him to have his mind. And a lot of places in my life, God has trusted me to have his mind. But it came to walking out his heart, I failed. And what happens when you fail in those moments is, that's the most God can ever use you. Jonah's ministry ended there. We hear nothing else about Jonah. But see, this is a beautiful picture we've got to see. You've got to be able to relate this back to your own life. When we get in a situation and it's hard to have mercy, and it doesn't look like they deserve mercy, and in the Word of God, you can find reasons that they are wrong, what you have to do is you have to be the one that cries out for mercy. Because the Bible says, if you give mercy, what will be given to you? Mercy. If you give mercy, mercy will come back to you. God requires all of us to live under the mercy of God. Do you know what I read that mercy is? Mercy is just compassion and kindness to someone who does not deserve it. Mercy is compassion and kindness to someone who does not deserve it. Jonah could not have mercy and compassion on someone who did not deserve it. Now, Jonah needed it when he was in the belly of that whale, correct? He needed it. He needed that mercy. In my life, every day, I need that mercy. I can't live without that mercy. Without what Jesus did on that cross, I would be dead in hell. But when someone else needs mercy, can God trust you? Can he trust you to be the one he sends into a season? And he says, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to fight for mercy. You're going to have to not let it forsake you. You're going to have to bind it around your neck. You're going to have to write it on your heart. You're going to have to speak it. You're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to confess it when you don't feel it. But if you will, cling to mercy. This is what Proverbs says you'll have. It says, if you'll cling to mercy, it says God will direct your paths. And God will keep on being able to use you. Time and time and time again. We see this in Samuel. Samuel was able to be used in that season with Eli's sons. But do you know, then God put Samuel with Saul. And Saul did Samuel really bad. Terrible. I agree. Saul did Samuel terrible. But do you know what? Samuel still had mercy on Saul. And all throughout God's life, because those mercy muscles had been strengthened, because they had been stretched, because he had been matured, because he had walked through the fire, and he had been able to stand, God could use him over and over and over and over and over again. God's desire is to be able to use you in any situation he puts you in. Every situation God put you in, there's a purpose in it for you. In Psalm 66, I had a friend send this scripture to me yesterday. And I so needed it. Because I believe this is what we have to understand when we're put in a season. And we're like, God, I did not do anything wrong. It looks like everything around me, I'm wrong. But I'm not wrong. God allows us to walk through desolate areas. Because he wants to anoint us. Because he wants to develop in us character of God. He wants us to have the truth of God. He wants us to be people who he can trust in any season. All right, this is what she sent to me, and I'm going to tell you, it's my new favorite scripture. It says, oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise be heard, who keeps our souls among the living, and does not allow our feet to slip. For you, O God, have tested us. For you have refined us as silver is refined. Now listen. You, and it's talking about God, brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and we went through the water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be in situations and you're like, God, they are stepping all over my feet. He's saying there's going to be a rich fulfillment at the end of this. There's going to be a rich fulfillment at the end of this. Can I trust you? Can I trust you? My question to you this morning is, God wants to trust all of us. When you get into a season, God wants to trust you. He's got rich fulfillment right on the other side of that bend. But will you be somebody that daily hears him? Because when you daily hear him, you know his mind. You know why you're there, even if nobody else knows why you're there. You know what the purpose of that is, even if nobody else knows what the purpose of that is. And then when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you, to quicken you, to teach you how to walk out love when it's almost impossible. Peace, when there's no reason for it. Joy, when everything around it is depressing. When you can allow the Holy Spirit to develop the nature of God, and you just make a decision in your heart, I am not going to judge. Even though they're wrong, I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to stand here and say, God, judgment on them. Because if I do, God, you have to judge me for every time I fail. You can trust me to be in this season and to come out of this season with rich fulfillment. I want everybody in here to close your eyes just for a second. I believe this morning what I'm preaching to you is impossible. I'm just going to be real honest with you. I believe what I'm preaching to you this morning is impossible without God. Without God, you don't know what to do. Without God, you don't know how to act. Without God, you don't know how to think. Because see, God's ways are higher than our ways. His mind thinks in a whole nother level than our minds think. He can put Jesus on that cross and he can say, love them. And Jesus can say, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. See, that kind of love and compassion can only come by a miracle of God. But I'm going to tell you, God has that kind of compassion and that kind of mercy in his hands to pour into your life whatever the season. But you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. So I believe tonight, this morning, that we need to pray and we need to ask God to strengthen us. I believe we need to commit to God this morning that we are going to be faithful. We are going to pursue his mind. And we are going to let him develop inside of us the heart. So that when he places us in situations, he can trust us. He can trust us to do and be what his heart and his mind wants done in every situation. I want you to just say to God, say, I will not be a Jonah. I will not judge. I will not be hard-hearted. I don't want that end. I don't want that end. If you feel like this morning that this word that is totally for me, without a doubt, it could be for you too, I want you to just stand up. If you believe that God is calling you to be faithful with his word and faithful with your nature and faithful with his character, I want you to stand up. And I want you to lift your hands with me because we're going to have to do this together, guys. I want you to say, God, I can't make it without you. I don't know what to do, but I know you do. You're a good father. I can do my part, and you will do your part. So my part this morning, God, is to commit to you. I will be a faithful priest that will have your heart and will have your mind. But just like Samuel, I trust and depend on you teaching me how to do that. I commit, I will not let your word be rare. Every day, I will sit at your feet and I will hear you and I will believe. I will not let the Holy Spirit inside of me be quenched. I will do what you tell me to do. I will be obedient. No matter how hard it is, no matter how many tears it takes, I will be obedient. And where I'm weak, I trust that you make me strong. I trust, Father, in the strength of God that right now is filling me because I'm asking you to do the impossible in me. Father, my life is in your hands. My ministry does not stop here. I will be able to be used over and over and over because of you. Develop in me a clean heart. Give me a right spirit. And when I am failing, allow your mercy and grace to cover me and to bring me back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.